With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Today's show is brought to you by Surfshark VPN. Now, more than ever, our internet reliance is rapidly increasing. We stream our favourite shows, keep in touch with loved ones, and even watch podcasts like this one. See? Makes sense. It's linked into the podcast. We prefer to think our information is safe, but as our online footprint increases, so does our need for proper security. That's where Surfshark VPN comes in. They protect your information by encrypting all the data you send through the internet, keeping anyone unwanted from seeing it. Another great reason to use a VPN is because the content from streaming services can be restricted based on what country you're in. So that could be Netflix, Amazon Prime, even some of the highlights on Twitter. You click on it, not available in your country. Well, Surfshark helps you out with that by simply changing your location. Also, you go abroad, you want to keep watching iPlayer, you want to keep watching British stuff, you can do. Change your location back to where you've left and you can keep watching all of that. Right now, Surfshark has an amazing offer on by clicking the link in the description, using the code Paddock, sit there, look, Paddock, like Stretford Paddock, that's why we use the word Paddock, Paddock, you'll get 83% off, which means for something like a couple of quid a month, you get fully protected, 83% off, that's basically all of it off, 83%, plus you'll get 3 months for free, and Surfshark offers a 30-day money-back guarantee. Use the link in the description, use code Paddock for 83% off, 3 months free, and 30-day money-back guarantee. Don't get better than that. Hello, welcome to Stretford Paddock. This is the Paddock Podcast. My name is Joe. I'm joined by Jay. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, man. I'm all right. I'm getting over the derby.
Oh, yeah.
I'm done with it. Who cares?
I feel worse now than I did yesterday. Yeah. And Alex, how are you doing, mate?
Quite a blue Monday, hasn't it, really?
Nice, yeah, nice.
Always the one. I feel
time
shit
for a new order,
it.
You could say.
Or a new blue hoodie. Is this a new blue hoodie? I don't think I've seen this one before.
A new order from you. Ordering a personality
shop. He said blue
shop.
Monday, so
I feel I'll like have shit, to make a new Jay, order reference. I feel rubbish.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's
what,
shit. All of our players are crap. Everyone needs to look. Like, do you know when you're just in one of those moods where you just think, we'll just burn it all then. Start again.
That's what I saw.
Just start again.
Just get rid of that.
Just get rid of all. Like, I'm not used to that, but I just feel fucking shit about it.
I hear you, and I am, and I was like yesterday. Sorry, I was yesterday, and I was today. But as the days wore on, I was just thinking, you know what?
Fish fingers for tea, you know?
It's one of them, innit? It's like, we were in a hiding to nothing anyway. I always want to win the derby. But now I've got, like, Scousers sort of a bit gutted, which has pleased me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have to take a small sliver of hope where I can.
It's a single atom's width of the silver lining, though, isn't it?
And let's have it right, when Liverpool battles in a few weeks' time, that'll go out the window. But in the meantime, it's the only little bit of solace I can take from it. I've seen a few annoyed Scousers, and that is about it.
We're going to be talking about United's front line. I know you kind of mentioned the news of it in the news this morning, but we'll go into the details and the opinion on Ronaldo and Cavani and Rashford and United.
Do you know how some people think? Do you know how some people think like they own stats?
Yeah,
I'm not naming any names.
Everyone, who does stats think they own stats.
That's my stat. Right. I own that stat. Well, I won't be the same with United Ronaldo news. I had it this morning. That's my news.
You can't talk about it.
He's
the only one who can talk
about
it.
I'm the only one who can talk about it.
The weird thing is with that, though, that's a good point. I like that stats thing. Yeah. There's a fine line, though, isn't there? Because, like, you would never say, well, you might say, you would never say you own the news on Ronaldo.
No, I'm joking. I'm being somewhat facetious.
But then there comes a line when eventually your research becomes qualified enough that you would have to quote a book, for instance, that is full of research. Do you know what I mean? Let's say it's a non-fiction book. You would still quote it if you were referencing it. Yet all of that information was sourced by them, but not created by them.
Yeah.
So there is a line somewhere where third-party research becomes ownership of the person that did the research, but you don't think stats is that line.
Well, I think the thing with stats as well, so you make a good point. No, I get it.
I get you were making.
We've got into some existential.
I told you, you're in a shit mood. Hey? Whatever you say, I'm going to tell you a nice little quip wrong
about some people thinking the old stats, and Joe's destroyed. Just absolutely tore me apart, and now I'm like confused as to what my own name is. But no, I think the thing with stats is some people pay a lot of money for those stats. Yeah. Like some of like Opta and people like that, it's dear, it's expensive. Yeah. And if you do it and then you see people basically just copy and pasting your stats, then people can get a bit narky about it. But I think, you know, without wanting to be sort of blunt, it's tough. Mm. Like social media, and it's like, if you put a stat there, it's like someone nicks your tweet.
Yeah.
Like you don't own it.
Jay, do you know the amount of times in the last week I've quoted your tweet about Dan James winning more derbies at the Etihad. Yeah. I've quoted it on three different radio stations, Jay. And every time it's gone down, I fucking stop.
That's what I mean. I love it because it's like that little thing.
I'm nicking it off you.
Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, you want these little sort of shots to fire at your head at the derby. And that was one of my all-time favourite stats. I don't know if it's still true now. They won yesterday. But Dan James won more Manchester derbies at the Etihad than Pep Guardiola. And it annoys City fans. Mm. And, what are you on about? Look at you, pathetic. When's the parade? And it's just a joke, isn't it? But yeah, people get a bit narky with stats, but I'm not being that way with Ronaldo news. Okay. Anyone can have the news. And well, if, you know, just because I might have had it before them doesn't mean I'm better necessarily.
But do you think you're better?
Some may argue that point. Yeah. I don't know. Who would argue to disagree?
Right, so what we're going to be talking about, Cristiano, let's get into that. Like I said, we'll go through that. We'll go through Cavani. We'll go through Rashford. I want to talk about the top four race as well. Is it done? Are United out of that? And of course, we'll have Wally of the Week as well. So let's start with Cristiano Ronaldo. The man, the myth, the person that's just passed 410 million followers on Instagram, because that's what's important.
Right now.
410 million followers on Instagram. Yeah. You'll never sing that. Right, I'm starting that in the next home game.
Exactly.
That's going because down the Stretford end on Saturday.
Quiz. Yeah. That's the real title.
Or Sunday, whenever it is.
Forget the Premier League title. Yeah. Have you got almost 500 million supporters on Instagram? Yeah. If you haven't, fuck right off.
Exactly.
So let's just get this straight then. Friday night, no, Saturday, there were rumours that Ronaldo wouldn't... Was it Friday, maybe, that rumours Ronaldo wouldn't be playing in
this
city?
I first saw the rumblings on Saturday, I think I might be slow.
I think it was around Saturday.
I mean, I don't know, because on Friday, his press conference, didn't he? There was
no mention of it then, so I think it definitely was Saturday.
Even Cavani, I thought, was playing on after the Friday's
then
presser.
Then there's rumours that Ronaldo won't be playing on Saturday.
So on Saturday, the rumours
come out on Saturday, about Sunday.
Then he wasn't in the squad.
That was it, he wasn't in the squad.
Then the rumours came out, is he injured? Has he thrown his dummy out after being told he's not playing? Has he fallen out with Ragnik? Is he pissed off? All of these things are coming out. I was expecting a little Jose will sweep me right at the last minute.
He'll drive his own car to the Etihad, because you know when you've got that many followers on Instagram, you don't get...
Or they just get them to carry you on a
sedan chair. Yeah, I thought he was going to helicopter in.
Just land in the middle of the stadium. Yeah, kick off.
Yeah, I know.
For the kickoff.
Powered by goodwill and famousness. Then you hear Laurie Whitwell yesterday saying Ronaldo flew to Portugal once his absence for the Manchester derby became clear. He reported a recurrence of a hip flexor problem, which treatment could not soothe. And then he took a flight to his homeland before Sunday. Now, I think that's almost in response to the people referencing the fact that Rangnick had said people who get injured will be treated in Manchester. Like, that was basically talking about Paul Pogba at the time, who went to Dubai or somewhere to get his treatment for his injury. When Rangnick's like, we've got people who, A, are being paid to treat you when you're injured, and B, can keep an eye on you and make sure, you know, it's going to plan. You're not telling fibs, whatever. Not saying they would do that, but, you know, that's what the suggestion is. And then Ronaldo's off to Portugal to watch the game. Do you think he actually, first of all, do you think he watched the game?
No.
I don't think he did. I think he was like, someone text me what the result was. Give me some updates. I think he got a half-time, full-time off his
agent. I'll go live on Instagram if we win. If not,
do you know if you're like at a wedding? Yeah. And like Altrincham are playing Stockport or something. It's one of them, isn't it? It's like someone might have said to him, oh, by the way, United lost.
Yeah.
Did that? Yeah.
Oh, what a shame.
Yeah, I think you're half time, full time.
I think he'd have said, did United get any penalties? No, all right, that's sound.
Doesn't matter. I would have scored anyway. do you think there's an issue here? Like, obviously, it's not just that game of, you know, if he's injured, he's injured, let's be honest. Yeah. You can't really ever go in for that. But he's got 15 goals in 30 appearances for United, but six in six of those are in the Champions League.
Also, it's 1 in 8. So it's 11 in,
in his last 8. He's 37 years old. He plays every week. Do you think there's a problem? Do you think this is, we're sort of coming to the end of Cristiano Ronaldo?
It looks like it a little bit, doesn't it? Because like Ronaldo's had barren spells, but not to this degree. And like he's still. Like, even if we're coming towards the end, he still can be an effective player. He can still end up with 20 goals this season. But that's not Ronaldo numbers anymore. Ronaldo's your 30-odd goals a season. Even last season, I think at Juve, he got 30-odd goals. Then is he 34?
Yeah, he's still leading goals.
I think in all competitions. Yeah. So, it does. And when you see, you know, the likes of some of the teams he's not scored against, you think, okay. I think part of the problem has been, it's not all his fault. I think, yes, his age. We're too reliant on him. He's playing too many games because we've got, you know, no Cavani's way out, Martial's gone on loan, Rashford's fallen off a cliff, Mason Greenwood's not available. You've got all these issues going on, and then Ronaldo's having to play week in, week out. I'm playing a full 90 minutes, which doesn't help.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
But, you know, the one thing that's always in the back of my mind, Cristiano Ronaldo, is you just count him out at your peril because he's that good. I mean, we did it with Zlatan, didn't we? He got injured and everyone thought that's the end of him. And, you know, 4 years later or whatever, he's still banging him in. Mm. All right, Serie A is probably not as intense as the Premier League, but he's still doing well. So I don't say, you know, that's it, Ronaldo's done. I just don't know if he's quite a force that he used to be or that we hoped he'd be.
Yeah, and I don't know, I worry about it all. The whole, like, how you have to play with him in the team and the fact that he doesn't really play Ragnick style. I know he's, you know, there's a couple of clips of him sprinting back against Wolfsburg, but realistically, we know what Cristiano Ronaldo does, and it's not a high-pressing, high-intensity game. His stats, you know, have changed slightly, but really still show that he doesn't do that. Are you... Yeah. I don't know, do you see this ending well with Ronaldo? Because
I think with Ronaldo, when you're saying, is he actually injured? He's 37 years old, as you say. He's played like the last how many games in a row?
Yeah, he plays
and he plays the full 90 minutes.
Yeah.
So it's like, he might not be injured, but for a 37-year-old, he might be feeling it.
Yeah.
But what frustrated me a little bit is this is the type of game he needed him in, and he's playing games like Watford, a full 90 minutes, which we should have won that game, and he should have had been off after an hour, and then he might not have been injured. And like, and he's also saying he wants a strike partner, because we know he doesn't press as well as he has been. He's a passenger a lot of the time on the pitch. But as you said, he's always got that goal in him, so you have to play him in the games. So he wants someone else with him to press and do basically his dirty work. Then I'll pop up and stay in the box because no one else is in the box. Mm. It's always just Ronaldo in the box. And then he's always, I remember he's complaining, we did about 4 crosses in a row and he's complaining like, there's one of me in here, like there's 5 of them marking me, what do you actually expect me to do?
Yeah.
So maybe we're not granting his wishes to support him in the way that a 37-year-old forward needs in this stage of his game. But as I said, we got him for goal scoring and he's not even doing that at the minute. So. Mm.
And there's part of me that thinks like, yes, he's 37, and yes, you have to account for that. And, you know, you get that sort of intangible thing, like you've said, Jay, of like, he can just do it out of nowhere occasionally. Yeah. But then the other part of me thinks, we've got too many players in the squad already that we have to play around. Like you mentioned him with, like, Wan-Bissaka, you know, you can't pass him the ball and expect to get it back. So, therefore, we don't pass to him. Okay, there's one. David De Gea, you can't pass him the ball and expect to get it back. There's two. Fred, same thing. There's three. Ronaldo, you know, we've got to put another man on the pitch to play around him because he can't Rashford with the ball. That's minute. Four. Rashford at the minute, that's five. Like, yeah. Next thing you know, we've got the only players who are allowed to touch the ball are Bruno, Telles and Pogba. Like, otherwise, yeah. You know what I mean? At some point, yeah. You have to fill your team with people you can rely on to do the full job, not just a bit of the job. And someone that scores, like, look at Marcus Rashford last season. It's a good example. He will probably outscore Ronaldo this season. I think Rashford got 22 goals last season. Ronaldo's on 15.
Yeah.
That wasn't even considered a great season for Rashford performance-wise. People were saying, you know, he's got to improve. Ronaldo's not even going to come close to those numbers. It's certainly not the assists. I think he got 11 assists as well, Rashford. Mm. Like, it's just one of those things where you think, it's just not enough. He isn't doing the thing he's good at enough to be bringing all of the things he's bad at as well.
Right.
It's just like, he's a footballer playing for Man United. He's not like, I don't know, it's like we're looking at him like, oh, he's our dad. Like, yeah. be nice to him, he's our dad. He used to be good. He used to be semi-pro, you know. Like, is that kind of thing where you're like, oh, yeah, you can tell he's still got a bit. But really, he's not doing it.
What do you make of Alex? Because me, I take it you're old enough to remember his first time around.
Yeah.
I take it this is your first experience of Ronaldo at United. Can you remember him?
I remember, obviously, in 2008, I was 8 years old, watching Ronaldo. He was still, I still remember, like, that Portsmouth free kick I was at the game for.
All right, okay.
So, obviously, it's still massive challenge.
I didn't realise, I didn't know whether you could remember, like, because
you should realise how long he's been playing the game for.
Yeah.
Because I think the problem with Ronaldo is, and we discussed this on the podcast or on this channel many times, if you've got him, you've got to go all in with him.
Mm.
That's it. You are almost Ronaldo FC then.
Yeah.
It's like, he takes the free kicks, regardless of the fact he never scores them anymore. He takes the penalties. You know, you play to his strengths. You try and get the ball into him as much as you can. If he wants to play, he plays. All that sort of stuff. You just have to go with it. You just have to. Otherwise, you don't get him. Don't sign him. And, you know, we're sort of kind of doing that, but not.
You know, there's a fear that always. He isn't the player he was, and therefore you can't just go with it anymore. Like, if you just go with it, you won't win titles because he doesn't bring enough. Yeah. That's the worry now. Like, Ronaldo at 28, you go with it.
Yeah.
You pander to him, you do exactly what he wants, when he wants, how he wants. You change the canteen, you change the colour of the training kits, you dim the lights because his eyes are hurting. You do whatever the fuck you want. But a 37-year-old Ronaldo, you try and make everyone do it his way. Is he good enough to pull the whole team through doing it like that? I don't know if he is anymore.
I don't know. I mean, you look at some of his performances against Watford. He had, you know, it's one thing, like, against Atletico, he wasn't really getting the service, I felt.
No.
I thought, the crosses were poor, they were nowhere near him. What's he meant to do with that? No. But I felt against Watford, I was watching him, and he did get service, he did get some chances. He did, like, he sort of held onto the ball a bit too long and just little things, and I thought, that's not the Ronaldo we know. I mean, you know, when he made his debut, his return debut against Newcastle, you looked at, especially in his second goal, you think he's still got it.
Yeah.
He's still that, you know, because that ball that Shaw played to him was slightly behind him. He controls it, he drags it, and with his left foot, he just fires it past the keeper. And you think, yeah, that's the sort of thing. Even the first goal, the poacher's instinct, you think, okay, he's still got that. But already he's beginning to look like it's catching up with him a little bit. And I'm not saying this is, you know, like I said earlier, it's that's it now, because Ronaldo can always defy the odds. But it is worrying. That record of 1-8 against the calibre of opposition, which is bottom half of the table opposition, you know, Ronaldo now, you know, of old would have been pulling out hat-tricks against them, some of them teams. So you do worry, is this the season where it's going to shift from being prolific to not prolific? And like you said earlier, Joe, most players, if they get, I don't know, 20 goals in all competitions, that's a great season. For Cristiano Ronaldo, that'd be a disappointing one.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's probably what he's aiming for. I just feel that this United team, and Cristiano Ronaldo in particular, it's all about Atletico Madrid.
It is.
I think if we win that, and then all of a sudden there's something to play for, we're in the last day of the Champions League, that's his competition. Mm. If we lose that game, what's he doing? He's playing to try and get us into the top four, which is going to be difficult.
Yeah.
And the sort of the narrative is he's just been a complete flop this time round. So I just think all eyes are on that for me.
I think the thing with you saying he hasn't, when we first came he was good, but like, even like the Atalanta game, he was the only reason we scored that last minute goal.
Mm.
Like, and even at Brighton, that was probably his only goal in 1-8, but still a fantastic.
That's what I mean. He's got that in him.
What you needed at the start when Ronaldo was scoring was the whole team were playing well as well with him. But now, no one is on form. So Ronaldo's getting the shit because it's him, but everyone, like Bruno hasn't been great since the Atletico game. He's missed a few chances at Watford. And also, I mean, Alanga's come in and that's a fresh air, but he wasn't getting in the team earlier on because everyone else was playing well. Because that's when we were pushing, we were doing well in the league. And even we had left wing Sanchez coming into it now. Mm. But the balls just aren't going into the box enough. Like Shaw's really was one of the main our main attacking threats, especially last season. He was our main way of getting the ball into the box.
Yeah.
And now he doesn't do that. And it just feel like Wan-Bissaka isn't getting them on the right. Dalot was playing well, but for some reason he's been frozen out.
Mm.
And I just think Ronaldo's getting the blame because he's Ronaldo, but the rest of the team is...
I mean, you made a good point there. It's almost like nobody in this team other than maybe...
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Bruno has nailed down a place. No. Maybe De Gea. Like, almost everyone feels like they can get dropped. Even Pogba sometimes you think he might prefer Fred. Like, I'm not saying he should because I start Paul Pogba every game. Yeah. But, you know, you mentioned there, Wan-Bissaka and Dalot keep swapping around. Tellers and Shaw keep swapping around. I know Shaw had
COVID. Lindelof and Maguire are chopping and changing.
McTominay's in and out of the team. Matic comes in right now. And, you know what I mean? Sancho, all right, he's pretty much been a mainstay the last few months, but he wasn't always guaranteed a start. Rashford, apparently, today is upset because he's not starting.
We'll get to that in a minute.
Alanga.
And now we're heaping pressure on a 19-year-old who should just be bedding into the squad. And we're going, yeah, you're starting at the end because we've got no one else.
That's not rotating your squad because of games. That's not having players good enough to rely on him.
He doesn't know his best team, does he?
No. I mean, you've got a situation where you've had, and I don't want to keep digging out Maguire because he had a lot of stick, but you had an £80 million defender who, you know, tactically was dropped, I think was it for the Watford game. You've got a £50 million defender in Wan-Bissaka who's not always guaranteed to start, and I don't think he will start the next game. Luke Shaw, he was dropped. He's the hero of Shawberto Carlos and all that nonsense, the hero for England. He's not guaranteed to start. Marcus Rashford, one of the most famous footballers in the world ever, he's not guaranteed to start. It's just like we haven't got any of the players that you think we could rely on performing anywhere near the levels they should.
Mm. Yeah, it's poor, isn't it? I mean, we haven't even mentioned him, but let's move on to him. Edinson Cavani, who never fit. He's played 700 minutes all season of a possible 3,420, which is 20% of the available minutes. So for one reason or another, he's missed 80% of the available minutes this season. He's got two goals. Rangnick had to convince him to stay in January, which was slightly odd because there was this whole if you want to leave, you can go mentality, unless it's Cavani. Mm. He trained multiple times last week. It wasn't just one training session. He said he trained a few times, but declared himself unfit to be even in the squad against City. He's a big fan favourite, but he's starting to take the piss now, isn't he?
He is taking the piss. It's like Ronaldo's getting all the blame, but we're also paying him a hell of a lot of money and he's just dying. Oh, I'm not fit again. Like he just walks in and goes, "Oh, is it below 10? I don't play under 10 degrees."
Yeah,
like one of those. Like, which way's the wind blowing? Oh shit, I'm not. Don't fancy it today, lads. And going back in.
Yeah.
And he's one of the main, probably one of the best for Ralph's style of play. Yeah. For his centre forward, he's the one who's been pressing and non-stop pressing. And he is starting to get to me now, Cavani. I mean, either just decide what you want to do, mate. If you don't want to play, we'll get someone else in, get a younger player in. But we're not even doing that at the minute, are we? No. But it baffles me.
Three training sessions and he's looked good in the week. That's, I mean, I don't know the sort of intricacies of the United training sessions, but you think that would be enough to say someone's ready to play, or at least feature.
Unless the training sessions are FIFA.
Yeah. Like, how can you play three and your manager thinks you've done well and you're ready, and then you go, actually, no, I'm not. And then Ralph's come out and said, if a player tells me they're not fit, I have to believe him, sort of thing. But you think from just a personal pride point of view, Cavani, you're lucky. It's a Manchester derby. Mm. There's a chance there. Even if you say, just give me, you know, I can do 20 minutes at the end. That would have been something yesterday. Mm. Because, you know, Rashford and Lingard.
Even if he came out, I know this never happens, but even if he came out and said, I've been really struggling with my body this season, I can I really have to pick and choose what games that would be, best for the team, best, like, something. Because at the minute, we're expecting him to be a regular squad member, which is, you play 70 games, 70% of the games plus. And we expect, there's nothing indicated to us other than he can't be asked to play, that isn't the case. Someone should say, if it's a case that we're saving him for the Atletico game, we should say that. Mm. Or if he comes out and says, I think my best chance of impacting this season for United is that Atletico game. I think I'll be fit. I think I can play 90 minutes. Whatever it is, something, some communication. Because otherwise, it literally looks like he can't be asked to play for us for 300 grand a week or whatever he's on. And that's the thing of, like, I know we talk about this all the time. There are some things money can buy. Some things they can't. It can't stop you being depressed or unhappy or tired or fatigued or injured, whatever. But it can make you try harder. Yeah. It should make you give 100%. And especially if he's fit enough to train, you're not fit enough to play 10 minutes. Let's say it's 2-1, and it wasn't. Let's say it's 2-1, 10 minutes to go. Cavani on the bench for 10 minutes doesn't make some difference. You can't put 10-minute shift in. And we don't know why, other than, well, he said he's not fit, even though he's fit enough to train. It just don't make sense to me. I'd rather hear something from it. Yeah. I don't want to hear apologies or we will get this club back to the top, all this shit. But if you say, here's what's going on with me and here's what you can expect, I'm up for that sort of thing. I don't know what you think.
I mean, I get the point you're saying of, if there's a valid reason why he can't play, just tell us rather than leaving us in the dark.
Yeah.
But I don't want players like that at our club. I think we're at risk of having too many of them anyway. When they play, they're good, so we're all right. But no, we need, like, Manchester City don't have players that go, I'm not playing this, or a little bit injured. They're all together as a unit, and I just feel like sometimes the players are looking at each other and they're like, I'm not that arse today, mate. Yeah. Are you?
Well, there was that report, wasn't there, that came out last week about certain players not wanting to play, like, cold, difficult away matches, so they were pretending to be injured under Solskjaer. That was something that Ollie was pissed off at. Players going, I'm not quite fit for this because it's, Burnley away on a Friday night. They couldn't be arsed. And if that's the case, I mean, fucking hell.
It just feels like we've just turned into Arsenal.
Yeah.
It does. I used to laugh at Arsenal when they had, like, players just disappearing and tweeting things or posting on Instagram, reposting Arsenal fan TV drivel and just upsetting everyone and falling out and the merry-go-round with a captain's armband and never getting anywhere near top four. Just a laughing stock.
Liking Instagram posts, criticising the club and all that.
Just a shambles. Yeah. And you used to look at that and you go, look at them, the absolute state of Arsenal. And now we're at that. You've got players who don't want to be here and you can't be bothered. Someone pointed out, saw something, you basically got, it looks like Pogba's going to leave in the summer, so is Jesse Lingard. In a Manchester derby, you're replacing one player who doesn't want to be here with one who doesn't want to be here.
Yeah.
And that's the situation we're in. And I'm not saying you shouldn't have played Paul Pogba or even Jesse Lingard. No, I wouldn't have. But that's where we're at. We're relying on players who either don't want to be here, or if they do want to be here, you look at the bench of the players who, you think, okay, you could probably, their heart's in it. That's the likes of who? Juan Mata? Nemanja Matic, I mean, decent players, but against that City team, it's a struggle, isn't it? And then you start looking at youngsters, you mentioned there, you've got Hannibal Medjri, or you've got, you were saying there, if you replace Cavani, I've seen some people saying, just bring Charlie McNeil in. And I love Charlie McNeil, I think he's a fantastic youngster, but should he be playing now? Probably not. Mm. Do you know what I mean? It probably, I don't mind him being in around the squad, but you shouldn't be relying on him when you've got players, who have got far more experience on a lot more money. He was just looking out the window going, no, it's spitting, I can't be bothered today. Mm. All right, come on, man. I think whoever comes in, the manager, I think early doors, he's just got to be ruthless. And I think the fans will back him. Mm. I think the new manager comes in and goes, you know what? Getting rid of so many of these players who don't want to be here. Even if it affects results for the first sort of period, I think a lot of fans will go, do you know what? I understand this because we need a massive overhaul.
But that's why we need the right manager. Yeah. This next manager is so important.
Yeah.
Because once again, we're in a position where, like you said, you could make a case for 10 or 11 players to leave, and some of those being first team players. But the next manager has to be right, or has to be good enough to rebuild a squad. Maybe they're not, Fergie right, or even Pep or Klopp in terms of the sustained success. But it has to be someone capable of winning trophies and capable of rebuilding a squad. Because Jose isn't capable of rebuilding a squad. He can add two or three players to an already good squad. Louis van Gaal, he's done it, but it's been a long time, and he did it at Bayern and, Barcelona, where that was 20 years ago when he was managing Barcelona. And Ole hadn't really done that at the top level either. At least Poch has done that a bit. he's been at a club long enough to redo it a little bit. Ten Hag has done that at Ajax, but again, the standard is lower. We need someone that can rebuild the team because we've got so many players fucking about or not arsed or not good enough that if we get the wrong manager in again, spend another 200 million quid on shit and keep the wrong players, we're just going to be saying the same thing in 2024, 2025. Who's the next manager? It has to, we have to get it right at some point. Because not for the first time, but you really can start to see as a decade approaches of United winning the Premier League, how Liverpool went 30 years.
Yeah.
It's a cycle that is just... That never stops itself. Someone has to come in and stop it of making mistakes, buying the wrong players, relying on the wrong players for too long, and getting the wrong managers.
Look at United. You know, I remember when we won it in '93. My dad and his mates being all teary-eyed because they'd waited 26 years.
Mm.
And you think, how did United go from winning the European Cup as it was then, the Champions League in '68, to getting relegated 4 years later, whatever it is, or 5 years later? Sorry. I think it was, 6 years later.
Yeah, 74, 6 years later
to never winning a title in the next 26 years. How did that happen? And you look at it and you go, it's the same thing now. Merry-go-round of managers like spending money, signings not working out, chopping and changing them, you know what I mean? Backing them and then not backing them and then bringing in a new manager. And it wasn't until we stuck with Fergie, even through the dark times of the late 80s, you know, when it was like, this looks like, you know, when Pete Molyneux had his sign out and all that, this is, you know, Terry Fergie, stuck with someone. I mean, obviously he had to be the right one, but we stuck with him, saw what he was doing, bringing through the youngsters and the longer-term plan he had, and it came to fruition. Now, obviously, you're not going to get another Fergie, the one and a lifetime manager, but you have to get the right manager and give him time. Liverpool gave Klopp time.
Mm.
He finished eighth, didn't he, Klopp?
Yeah.
And lost three finals. But they didn't sack him. United would have. Yeah. Right, well, there's
first class gamer says, if you want to rebuild, you've got to write the next 5 years off. Will fans be happy with that? Do you think United fans would accept someone coming in like Klopp did, as you've mentioned in the past, saying this is going to take a few years to get this right? If Poch or Ten Hag comes in and says that, what do you think the reaction is?
Well, we've already gone a decade without it, so another 5 years shouldn't be too much trouble. I just think we can't get in someone like Antonio Conte because I think it's just going to be like a Jose Mourinho. He's just going to call out the players. I don't think he'd get rid of them as ruthlessly as others would. And it's just going to be that same 2 or 3 years again. I think we have to get in Ten Hag, who I know he has no experience, but neither did Klopp, neither has Guardiola. And then look at them now. I know they've won more at bigger clubs, but...
Well, Klopp hadn't won much more than Ten Hag had.
No.
Klopp had won two league titles with Dortmund, which was obviously very impressive, breaking that Bayern thing. But it's not like he'd won Champions Leagues or been around Europe. You know, Pep had done more of that, but Klopp had won a couple of three or four trophies, which is great. But, you know, so has Ten Hag.
So, and then Klopp's obviously, he's built his own system into Liverpool.
Mm.
And look at them now, like they're incredible. So... if we did that risk, because that Pochettino's like, he's done it, he did all right with Spurs, but I just don't feel like he's got the balls to kind of take us.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I think Ten Hag, I mean, we've not seen him in the Premier League, so that's another more exciting aspect of it. He's done past history of doing well with players, bringing them through the academy, which is what we hold as a value at our club. So I think it has to be him, in my opinion.
Yeah. Do you think that people would stand for that?
No.
I don't either. Well, I think they'd say they would, but 2.5 years in when we've finished sixth, he's gone.
Yeah.
He's gone.
If you,
three years in, whatever.
Because sometimes when you do a rebuilding sort of plan, like with Fergie, people forget Fergie finished second, I think, in his first full season, and then finished something like, I forget the exact sort of places, 11th or whatever, in his second, and then in his third season, I think it was, might have been his third full season, won the FA Cup, got him out of jail. But in his third season, like, people would have been going, right, that's it now, you're done. Do you know what I mean? Or after his second full season, sorry. You have to have sort of consistently improving. Now, the thing that helped Klopp...
Ollie's a perfect example of that. Ollie, you improve every year until you don't fuck off.
Yeah, that's it. And, you know, sort of 3 months into this season when the wheels have come off massively. We're not sticking with him. We're not buying into his long-term plan anymore. He's done. Now, I'm not saying, he didn't need to go because I'd had enough after the Liverpool game. But we're just going to end up in that scenario. The only way a new manager stays with it is if he consistently improves in terms of positions or trophies or whatever. If he has one season, because sometimes it can happen. You can make a couple of short-term signings. Like Fergie did. He had players that came in and were like, the likes of sort of your Danny Webbs and your Danny Wallace's and players like that who come in, for one or two seasons and then move on or whatever. Or the fringe players. But they're there for a reason, just to keep you going at that time whilst the youngsters are coming through. So you can have sort of peaks and troughs as you're aiming towards a bigger goal. Klopp had that to a certain degree. But I think if United... We're in that sort of worst scenario where we've had success recent enough to demand it, but it's been that far away that we haven't got the quality there from that success anymore.
And I think, like you said about Conte or that type of manager, I think the honest truth is we aren't good enough for that type of manager. A specialist in winning trophies needs a team capable of winning trophies. And currently, I don't think, that Kanté would come here and be able to win anything. He certainly won't be able to win the league with this team.
What Premier League winners have we got in this squad that's playing right now?
Ronaldo. And De Gea. I think that's isn't it?
Matic.
Yeah, Matic.
But, I mean, they don't play, does he?
Yeah.
No, I know. I
don't think we've got, those managers that come in and take a team that's either, close or thereabouts and win it. We aren't close or thereabouts at the moment. As much as we thought we were at the start of the season, we aren't. We're a rebuild away. I don't think one of those types of managers would work with this squad. I think Conte would maybe come in, win an FA Cup, blow up and fuck off like Jose did.
Yeah.
I think that's all we'd get out of him. I know he didn't win the FA Cup, but win a trophy here or there.
No, I agree.
That's what I think we are. I think we need someone that can do more than that now. And we're too far gone.
It's always going to get more and more difficult because, when Moyes came in, we were title holders.
Yeah.
When Jose came in, Van Gaal came in, not only did we spend a lot of money, he also had some players that had won a title in his squad that had played under Sir Alex Ferguson that still had something to offer.
Mm.
They weren't spent forces. By the time Jose comes in, a lot of those players, they're done, but he's still got a few of them. He's still got some good signings that Van Gaal had made or that had happened on Van Gaal's watch. By the time Jose leaves, you've always got there's only, one or two that have played under Fergie and have had any success. So you're now into the stages where you've got to find a new batch of players. We haven't been able to do that. We haven't been able to find a group of players that are good enough to challenge for titles. You look at Chelsea as the example everyone uses. Chelsea always seem to have a sort of core group of players you can rely on. Do you know what I mean? They had him under Jose when he came back. They had him under Conte. They had him under Tuchel. Just a core group, players that you think, okay, as long as I've got some like a Kanté in there.
They've kind of rotated, haven't they? Through the years. So
if
Lampard
I've got some
and Terry,
Terry or Drogba, or if I've got Costa or
Azpilicueta
is a big one.
Kanté is a big one. These are sort of players with Hazard. These players, okay, I can build a team around them. And now you look at United and you think, who could you genuinely build a team around? Who could you say, okay, I've got the spine of a good team?
Varane, Bruno.
Exactly, and Varane's always injured. Bruno's so inconsistent. I love Bruno, but
you
hope Sancho.
At the start of the season, you would have said Varane, Bruno, Rashford, Sancho, Ronaldo is a Pogba.
Yeah,
is six players that are good enough to win any trophy.
I would have.
I think I did.
Yeah, we all did.
Exactly. Yeah. Let's kid ourselves. And now we're looking at it saying Pogba's gone, Ronaldo's probably gone, Varane's only fit half the time, Rashford people want to sell him, and Bruno's inconsistent.
Yeah.
So maybe on the other, let's be slightly more positive for a minute.
Okay.
Because it's been down and shite. Maybe on the flip side of that, we're not as far off as it seems. Because those players are still the players they have been every year up until this year. Bruno's still the player that last season got 40, what was it, almost 50 goals and assists for Manchester United. Mm. Rashford almost 40. Varane still won 4 Champions Leagues. Obviously Ronaldo's getting on a bit now, so that's a different matter maybe. But we've still got players who are the same people they were a year ago. Maybe with a bit of confidence, the right manager, a few good results behind them, we can see the players they've been in the past again. Because surely it can't be as bad as it seems. Because how can we be so wrong that at the start of the season, this team finished second, we've definitely improved the first team with Ronaldo, with Sancho, with Varane, and yet we're so much worse. Surely we aren't quite as bad as it seems either. No. To go from there to just hell. Do I mean, surely there's something that that can, you know, a spark that can be reignited here.
Yeah, but you know, the trouble is with some teams, you see it happen with them. You see it happen with even title winning teams. Mm. You know, successful teams. Look at Chelsea under Jose. They just fell apart. Yeah. You know, I know Leicester were a bit of an odd one when they won the league, but the manager got sacked during the second the next season. You look at us under Moyes, you know, he inherited, all right, it's different because he took over Fergie, but he inherited a title winning team and, you know, we finished seventh. So it can happen that a group of players can, for whatever reason, who are good players and who have won things, I know we haven't, but who've, you know, been successful, can all of a sudden just stop performing at levels you need.
Never get it back.
Yeah. And I think that's the thing now is, like you see, you know, we're all saying the same thing. Ten Hag needs to come in, or whoever needs to come in needs to get the manager right. You're right. I 100% agree with that. But the one thing that needs to change in this club more than anything else is the structure of it. Because you look at Manchester City, do I think Roberto Mancini is a genius? No, I don't. He won a title. Do I think Manuel Pellegrini is a genius? Not at all. He won a title. Pep Guardiola's come in, probably, you know, he's just cut above those two. Mm-hmm. He's won multiple titles. But the reason that all those three managers have won titles is because the structure's right. And, you know, it pains me to say it, but I think when Guardiola leaves, they'll still win titles because they've got a proper structure.
They could get someone like Brendan Rodgers or something to win titles with their structure.
That's what I mean. Their structure is set up
who's not
so
top quality.
It's difficult to fail because you've got a structure in place where they get players in that you have a say in that suit your style. They get players in even in the case of Guardiola before you even arrive and it works. You look at Liverpool, it's similar there. They give to Klopp time. They get players in that suit his style, that suit his philosophy. They have long-term goals that they don't panic if they don't get them. When they didn't get Virgil van Dijk the first time round, they didn't go out and spend 80 million quid on Harry Maguire. And that's not a dig on Maguire. They didn't panic. They went, well, we'll get him on the next window. And they did. And then they won the Champions League. So they have a plan and a structure in place that is more long-term than just, let's throw 150 million quid at this manager. And if we don't win anything within 18 months, we'll sack him, which has been the MO for Manchester United since 2014.
Do you think the sign of Ronaldo was, to me, obviously so exciting, giddy, couldn't believe it, almost emotional with the kind of how it felt compared to, you know, looking back at the history of what he's done at United, my childhood, all that shit. It felt like almost tearful on that day. But it was more of a... It was more of a Van Gaal or Jose type of signing that I thought we'd moved away from a bit. I know, obviously, you can look at some of the, you know, Wan-Bissaka and Maguire and that sort of signings and now say they might not have been good signings, but they seemed to make sense to under Ole. Ronaldo just didn't make sense.
It was a panic, was it? Don't get me wrong, it was a panic.
Is that an issue? Because I ain't. When's the last time Liverpool did that?
What, a panic buy?
Yeah.
Do you know what, though? Sometimes, not very often, but sometimes you've got to just say, like, all bets are off for certain things. No, but you know what? Like Ronaldo.
Yeah.
Ronaldo coming back to United. Yeah. You couldn't help but get giddy about that.
No, it was exactly.
Like, that game against Newcastle, I've never seen anything like it really for a game, like what, second home league game of the season. You'd think it was like a Champions League final and I completely bought into it. It felt so good, especially when it looked like he was going to City and the turnaround. Me and you stood in the other studio the night before. We signed him on 2 nights before, giving up. He's got a City, that's the end of that.
Yeah.
So there is a sort of an emotional attachment and he's one of the greatest players of all time. He's arguably the greatest player I've ever seen personally. Well, I'd say Robson and Keane are above him, but that's a personal choice.
Robson and Jerome, did you say?
Yeah. But in terms of, you know, what he's achieved and his talent, his skill and all that, probably the greatest player you've ever seen. So for him to come back, and also let's not forget, he'd had a successful season in terms of numbers at Juventus. He wasn't coming in off the back of he'd scored one goal.
No, it wasn't some charity thing,
no.
Was it?
I'm not so you still felt he could do a job. And like I said earlier, after, you know, an hour into his debut or his return, you think, oh yeah, he's still got it.
Yeah.
So I just feel like with Ronaldo, it was a case of, you're right, it was like, didn't make sense, but in many ways, but in some ways it did because it's Ronaldo coming back to United, having shunned City, and he's still got it. So we believed anyway. It's not until, 6 months into his time back here that we're going, we're actually really questioning him where, you know, up until recently, we were thinking he still had a bit of it.
Let's move on to Marcus Rashford. So this is coming out this morning, obviously. He came on yesterday, didn't do a lot, really, you know, barely touched the ball, had that one chance where he drove down the right-hand side, didn't quite get his feet sorted and had the ball taken off him, which has kind of been the story of his season so far. This is from Fabrizio Romano this morning, then made into an article in The Guardian using those quotes in that source. He said, more on the Marcus Rashford story, his contract expires in June 2023, but Man United have an option to extend for a further season. I'm told no decision yet. Sources tell me that he's concerned and bemused with his role within the team due to a lack of playing time. That's from Fabrizio Romano. The timing of that, coming after not just a sequence of bad performances from him, but after a massive loss, assuming that Romano isn't just making this up, a source close to him, he says, that is poor timing at best, isn't it?
Yeah.
What do you make of that?
I don't really believe it personally. I think it's one of them of, we've just lost. What can we talk about? Shit, Ronaldo's not playing. We've already talked about that. Let's go at Rashford, because he's obviously everyone knows about Marcus Rashford now.
Mm.
And he's just getting targeted for it. I don't believe Rashford would ever do that to United.
Do you think?
I don't think so, but
this is Romano saying, a source close to United forward tells me he's always been a professional, but he wants clarity. He's concerned about his lack of game time. So do you think it's Romano's making that up then?
Yeah, I mean, everyone loves to believe that Romano, everything he says is spot on the money and bang on. I mean,
yeah.
I just can't see where Rashford is concerned about his game time. He's the one that's been injured.
Mm.
He's the one that, I mean, he can't come on and go, come on, lads, you've not seen what I'm doing out there. I'm doing this, I'm banging all these goals in and go,
and
I'm undroppable. Like, but, I mean, he's hardly set the world on fire as he's been playing the past few months.
Yeah.
I mean, as we say, he's come back from injury. But, I mean, it's almost like, is he just injured all the time now? Is that how it's turned?
Yeah. What do you think, Jade, the Rashford stuff? Like, do you think it's true? Do you think that's, you know, his team have come and said that? Do you think their words have been slightly twisted? You know, bemused. He doesn't understand why he's not playing. He wants clarity on his game time. That immediately makes you think, oh, he wants to leave. But really, is he just saying, I want to know what's going on here?
I mean, it's all a bit disappointing. I love Marcus Rashford, but for starters, I always think with Marcus, he's quite good at speaking out if a story's not true or he's not happy with something. He's, you know, him or his team, whatever you look at, quite active on social media and are happy to call people out, I think they've done it in the past. I think, you know, it's come from Romano. I think it's come from Jamie Jackson. We had him on the Brew on Friday.
Yeah.
I don't think they make things up. I don't think, you know, Jamie Jackson would just make that up. I think because if he did and then Marcus calls you out, you're just left with egg on your face. And we've seen it happen to journalists recently. And I think the thing with Marcus is, you know, he's got to be a little bit, if he has said this, a little bit more self-aware. I mean, for starters, there's the timing. After a derby day defeat like that, to come out, when you know, no one's covered themselves in glory, including you, and to say something like that, or to let, you know, to brief the press or to leak it or whatever, or to speak to a journalist, you know, however it's come about, it's not great timing because United fans are angry, we're hurt after that.
Mm.
And then you're just adding fuel to that fire and you're making yourself a target. And secondly, listen, it's like what I always say with David De Gea when he got dropped for Henderson. If Marcus Rashford's playing as well as he can, no one gets near him in that team. Mm. He starts every single game. The only reason Anthony Langer's kept him out of the team is because Marcus Rashford's form has fallen off a cliff. It has. Now, I would love nothing more than to see Marcus Rashford come back into the United team and smash it. I love the kid. I do, for loads of reasons, both on and off the pitch. But I've been watching him, and it's been painful at times. Mm. And I don't believe, because he's a clever lad, that he thinks he's playing well. I don't think he thinks, I'm smashing it here. Why am I dropped? You know, and it's not like he's been completely shunned. He's starting in Madrid. It's a massive game now. And he didn't do anything.
Mm.
He, it was a pretty abject performance by him, to be brutally honest. Yeah. Alanga comes on and gets the equaliser with his first touch. You've got to be a little bit self-aware. And I get he must hurt because Cavani's out, Ronaldo's out, Greenwood's not available, Martial's gone. And you still can't get in the team. Mm. You've got Pogba and Bruno almost up front instead of you.
Yeah.
You must look at it and go, that is
awful. What the fuck
am I doing here? But you've got to be a little bit like, do you know what? I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to get back in this team. I'm going to roll my sleeves up and get in there.
Again, if he's releasing that or that's been released by his team, whatever, presumably they want that to go out on social media. They want that to go out to the wider world. But if they checked social media or the wider world, they wouldn't have seen many people saying, why isn't Rashford starting?
No.
And again, we love him. Yeah. And him at his best is one of the best wingers, I think, in the world, statistically, let alone in the Premier League, and certainly United's best winger, or, you know, until Sancho's arrived. But he's not at his best.
No.
And he hasn't been at his best for 6 months, maybe pushing a year. Like, it's not as though it's been a couple of games here. So it doesn't make any sense to me at all. We've got a couple of super chats. Niloy says, when the season will end, it'll be 9 seasons without a league, 5 seasons since we last won a trophy. And I'm afraid to say, those jackasses running our club, we will not win anything until 2026. Atirek says, the majority of the fan base don't deserve success. They want instant gratification and are completely ignorant of where we are as a club. We absolutely broke Ole, who improved us with 2 top 3 finishes. Just on Ole a little bit, and I'm not going to sit here and say I, you know, didn't think it was the time for him to leave or any of that stuff, because I did. It completely devolved. It, you know, just collapsed under him, basically, didn't it? Do you think if we won that Europa League final, he'd still be here? But like, almost, and I'm not comparing the two in terms of what they went on to achieve, but almost in the way the FA Cup gave Fergie more time. I'm not saying he's, obviously I'm not saying that, everyone knows I'm not saying that. Yeah. Do you think he would have, A, not had the spiralling, hellish start to the season he did, and B, if he had, you would have seen, like they've done at Arsenal, look, yes, Arteta's had a shit time, but look at this FA Cup.
Yeah, 100%.
Do you think he'd still be
100% he'd still be there.
Do you think?
Because we,
go on.
I know it's not the European trophy, but it's still a European trophy.
Yeah.
And then I think if we had won that game, the confidence would have been up miles higher.
Yeah.
I know we were in Champions League anyway, but obviously we've been Champions League, and we were going into the season bringing in Ronaldo, and it's like, I think our confidence, especially people like Rashford's confidence, Cavani would have wanted to play more, I think, if he'd won that game. Because, and I'm surprised that De Gea is playing well after a shocking. So that's a bright side that he's actually playing all right. He's responded to that in another way. But even like Luke Shaw, I feel like he's lost the final Europa League and then lost the European final.
Same both with on Maguire. Maguire played the Europa League final, but obviously
both on penalties. Yeah. I mean, that's tough. I think that's tough. And losing one, but 2 European finals is going to take out a year. So Solskjaer would have been like, we'll give him a bit more time.
Mm. Do you think he would?
I think if he'd have won that, he probably would have got a bit of breathing space. He might have had a better reaction to certain games that went against us. I honestly think the Watford game, I think if we'd have, I don't know where I saw it, but I think someone made the case, if we'd have lost that 2-1, I think he might have kept his job.
Mm.
Honestly. I think that
for the fact we got battered.
Yeah. It was what did for him. It wasn't the loss. It was the hammering.
And we'd just been hammered by both our rivals for weeks before.
Yeah. I think it was like, oh my God, we're just getting battered off everyone, including relegation fodder. He's got to go.
Mm.
So I think there's lots of different results that did for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. But certainly I agree. I think if we could have got a trophy, it gives you that breathing space. It buys you time.
Mm.
It lets you sink, lets people buy into what you're trying to do and believe in what you're trying to do. And you've got that to say, I've won a European trophy at Manchester United. There's only a handful of managers that can say that.
Yeah.
So
I'm not saying he should have stayed or that, any of that. I'm literally just asking, if he'd have won it, do you think he'd still be it? And I personally think he would as well.
I think I would have said it after the Liverpool game. I thought he should have gone then. I thought that was just...
Yeah.
To lose 5-0 at home to the Scousers was just unacceptable. But we might end up in the scenario of the season where we don't get top four, we don't win a trophy, and we'll think, well, what was the point in getting rid of Ole? Because we're any better off? No.
Yeah. Speaking of, are we any better off? Let's have a little look at top four then. So at the moment, it's basically, I'll go from I should probably go from Wolves up, because they're 7 points behind with the game in hand. So we'll go from Wolves up. I mean, if we're factoring Southampton, we might as well fucking stop watching.
I heard this morning that Ralf Hasenhüttl was on our list of managerial contenders.
We're only allowed fucking Ralfs.
I know.
John Murtagh's Filofax is glued together except one page that starts with ours.
Let's have the guy we beat 9-0.
Yeah, exactly. Wolves are currently played 27, 40 points. Tottenham played 25, 42. West Ham played 28, 45. Man United played 28, 47. So, and then it's Arsenal played 25, 48. So Arsenal are a point ahead of us with 3 games in hand. So they can go 10 points ahead. Tottenham are 5 points behind with 2 games in hand. So they can go 1 point ahead. West Ham are 2 points behind with no games in hand. So the only teams that can go ahead of us that aren't currently is Tottenham. But Arsenal can go 10 points ahead of us. Any chance of catching that?
It's not pretty viewing, is it, really?
But they are only currently 1 point ahead, so
they are.
Factor that in.
And we can also, whilst we're having a glimmer of hope, they've got Liverpool and Chelsea, those games, and haven't they?
I think the other one's Tottenham.
Yeah.
Tottenham. That's like Everton versus Liverpool.
You think?
Tottenham always do them a favour. When they need a result, Arsenal, in the North London derby, they've won the league, haven't they? I know they won it at Old Trafford, but I think they've won the league at White Hart Lane. You know, Tottenham never seem to be able to do that thing of like, right, we can really throw a spanner in the works for Arsenal here.
Mentally weak.
Yeah. It's like one of the most one-sided derbies ever.
Yeah.
It is, so I'm not banking on them doing us. I mean, we shouldn't be relying on them anyway, but I don't think, I can't see Arsenal. The thing for me is we've got Arsenal, haven't we, at the Emirates.
Yeah.
I don't even think we'll win that. No. We'd have to win that game.
Of course.
I don't think we will.
No. They look quite good yesterday.
You can't see, look at our team, look at Arsenal and go, we'll do them at their ground.
No.
Well, based on what?
Yeah. Hope.
Yeah, hope. Delusion.
Faith? Ever heard of faith, Jay? Have a little bit of it, mate. George Michael said that.
Exactly. And it served him well.
It did. Samuel says, with a competent board, I'd be excited for this summer. So much change needed and a chance to naturally bin off some big egos. But this will be the start of another cycle that will be tore up in another 24 months. It's not particularly optimistic in the comments, and neither are we, to be honest. So, with all that being said, Wally of the week. Who's been a right Wally this week? We do it every week. Someone's been a Wally, bit of a nana, and we're going to call them out for it, Jay.
Well, I think it's got to be Stuart Atwell on the VAR at the derby. That fourth goal cost us, and that was never offside. That was never onside. So if I think if he hadn't give that, we'd be sat here now basking in the glory of a win.
Yeah.
So he's my Wally of the week. He cost us the game.
Who's yours?
Well, the one who actually cost us the game, mine's Harry Maguire. One was going up straight under his legs and right at the start of the game, and then hitting his, was it his backside or was it his knee for Mahrez's goal?
Mm.
And he's just literally, it's like an oil tanker at the back. He's turning and he's like, come on, and he runs like this, and it's like he's running through treacle at the same time.
I think he's done sprinting lessons. I actually do think he has. He runs like he thinks he's trying to be a sprinter to make
he's got
himself
the
faster.
Airflow in his
yeah,
hands.
But it's just so that's, slow. It's
that
not working.
Doesn't that? That's. I thought that was like a myth.
I'm gonna go with Micah Richards actually.
Yeah, well, that's just
I want to talk about this briefly.
Yeah, go on.
Because this has become a bit of a thing. So anyone who missed it, Micah Richards and Gary Neville got into... Like, Michael Richards started laughing when Roy Keane was talking.
Michael Richards starts laughing when Roy Keane fucking texts him.
Yeah.
Let alone talks.
Yeah.
He just throws up, he's laughing so much.
And then him and Gary Neville had a bit of an argument about Conte, because Michael Richards was saying he wanted Conte, or Conte should have become United manager. And Gary Neville was like, you don't know what you're talking about, basically. We don't need a short-term answer, like some of the points you made. And then it's become a bit of a sort of a debate on socials. Miguel Delaney, who, you know, if he says it's raining outside, leave your umbrella at home, he's just absolutely useless. He's tweeted, and I've had to see this on Joe's account because he's blocked me. Whatever you think of Keane's punditry, thought it was a touch disrespectful for Richards to be in hysterics as Keane makes an impassioned point. Michael Richards, I mean, you should have ignored him, but he's quoted him saying, "Deary, deary me, when Souness says to me, forget everything you've just said, or Neville says to me, stop ranting, you're not making sense, I don't see you saying it's disrespectful to me to stop this nonsense. Oh, so stop this nonsense. It's really not that deep. We all have respect for each other." I think there's a lot to unpick with that. I think one thing Michael Richards might want to be careful of, and I think this happened with Ian Wright, I'm not seeing this as an anti-City thing. I don't mind Michael Richards. You don't want to be the sort of the comical figure all the time. You don't want to be the joke. I think Ian Wright said he felt at one point he was becoming the joke presenter, and he didn't like that. Mm. He didn't feel like he was being taken seriously enough. And if that's your shtick, people won't take you seriously when you're making valid points. Because Michael Richards, no matter what you think about it, he's played football at the top level, he's won trophies, played for England. You know, there's weight in what he says, and I think he's a good presenter.
Yeah, he is.
But if you're like the comical guy, people won't take you seriously when you are being serious. So that's one thing I'd say to him, be mindful of. I don't think it's necessarily disrespectful. It's a derby. He's giddy. He's a giddy person anyway. Mm. I kind of get it. And I think he did let Keane make the points that Keane wanted to make. It wasn't like he kept interrupting him. So I think it is a little bit of a storm in a teacup. And I think Miguel Delaney acting like Michael Richards went and pissed on the Pope.
Yeah, it's just nonsense. And the other reason I'm calling one of the week is because just annoyed me.
I mean, that was his job for you.
Yeah, exactly. That's what he was trying to do.
I don't mind that. You know, we try and make football this sort of emotionless thing. It's a Manchester derby. Yeah. Believe me,
and
we'd have won that.
He pissed me off, and he did.
Yeah, and he had no backup, so he just had to shout. Yeah, you know, and Neville going at him.
That's the only thing I'd say on that is I'd just be, you know, from a sort of presenting point of view, he might or be mindful he doesn't get seen as a caricature or a joke or a comedy element to the show, because I think he's more than that. But no, this whole, you know, Miguel Delaney acting like it's just so, you know, getting all sanctimonious about it is just nonsensical, isn't it? It's just him being a pillock as usual.
Yeah, definitely. Abdullah Ibrahim in the Super Chat says, Steve has spoken about the warm-up on numerous occasions. I think it goes deeper than that. It goes as far as the training. The training and the warming up at the match, the speed is needed so that we can fight intensely. I think the warm-ups, maybe it would. How much, you know, what percent is
that?
You
know
what
I love about it as well, like, is when we...
It
was a small like bit of laughter during a horrible time, but I think we were losing to the Scousers or whatever. And a lad who stands with me, who's comedy gold, literally started losing his mind at the ball boys. And he was like, the state of our ball boys.
Yeah.
Like, look at him. Look how long they're taking. I'm like, bro, we're 4-0 down at half time.
Yeah, but it might be 4-1. Like,
it's not the ball boys. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It's literally got nothing to do with it. Because,
yeah.
Like, you can just, your head can go and you can go, it's this, it's that. And I'm not saying Abdul's head's gone because he might be looking at something that's valid. I think you look at certain things sometimes and it's like, yes, there might be some truth in it, but we all know the real reasons that Manchester United are struggling.
Yeah.
And it's, I wish it was the warm-ups because then it'd be an easy fix, but it's a lot deeper than that.
It is, unfortunately. Right, thank you very much for joining us.
I've got
us.
A little thing as well here.
Oh, yeah, go on. I was going to read that, but you go.
Oh, no,
it.
Sorry, I didn't know if you could see
no,
it.
No, I can. No, I can't see it.
I don't need to see it. I just know it from memory. So make
not
sure.
Not from memory, from your heart.
From my heart.
Not the brain, the body.
Yes.
Make sure.
Right. Make sure you are getting Surfshark VPN at https. Enter promo code PANIC to get 83% and 3 extra months for free. Click the link in the description. Make sure you go and check out Surfshark VPN for all your VPN.
Remember,
needs.
Either click the link in the description or go to https://surfshark.deals/Paddock. That is PADDOCK. Link in the description. Thank you very much to Surfshark for sponsoring the show. Thank you to everyone for watching at home. Thank you, Alex. Thank you, Jay. Thank you. Sorry we couldn't bring too much good
thank
news.
Thank you, Joe.
But
Joe, thank yourself, bro. You've done a good job there.
You thank yourself, you stupid thankmeister. Right, thank you very much for joining us.
Wow, he went there.
We'll see you in a bit.
Sports Social Podcast Network.